1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read this section and actually back up chapter 10, verses 31, and finishing right at the chapter 11, verse 1. So you can follow along with me. Verse 31 says, "So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Pray with me. Father, this is your word. Lord, you have said that it is a hammer and a fire, and I pray that you would use it that way tonight to our hearts. Teach us, Lord, these wonderful truths. Help us and guide us as we seek to be found in the likeness of our Savior and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, grant us your spirit tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, just focusing in on chapter 11, verse 1, I want to give a brief message on this subject of Christian imitation tonight. Christian imitation. And we all, generally speaking, have people that we look up to in life. People that would come to our minds when we think, I want to be like that person. I want to look like that person. I want to imitate that person. And if you give it some thought, who are the people, even tonight, what comes to your mind, who are the people that you imitate? Who are the people that come to your mind that you hold up as an example? Someone in your life that has the most influence out of anybody. And what is it, I would add, what is it that makes them such an example in your life? What is it that causes you to find such a great example in that person? And tonight we're going to look at much of that topic, and especially as we look at imitation and the role that imitation plays in the Christian life for you and for me. Because it's often something that we say, something that we just parrot here and there, but often it's not something we necessarily think about. What does that look like, really? Are we actually doing that? How do we actually begin to imitate? How do we think about doing it? Is it something that we strive for? Is it something that we practice? So I'm going to take this evening, this period of 15 minutes, just to do a brief study on what that looks like and seek to apply it to your life. So you can go away from here thinking biblically about this subject of imitation. Now, as we look at this section, I just want to touch briefly on context that we're looking in 1 Corinthians here. And specifically, we'll see in chapter 10 and chapter 11 as well. If you know much about Paul's letter to the Corinthians, you're going to know that it's dedicated much to admonishing, to correcting much of the errors that were active in that church. He was rebuking a lot of disorder, disunity that was going on, and a rediversion away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and trying to seek them back to devotion to Christ. Seek them back to his devotion, seek them back to unity around that Christ. Because he knew that found in Christ would be a unity in the church around many of the different issues that Paul sets out to admonish that church in. They were being carried away from these wonderful truths, and so he's setting them back on course. And that's a broad context if we're to understand 1 Corinthians as a whole. That Christ-likeness is something that is generally lacking in this church. It's generally something that you're not seeing for the most part. And disorder was rampant because of that very issue. But if we're going to narrow in on the immediate context, we're going to see that in greater detail, Paul's dealing with some of these areas of conscience, of liberty among those in the church, because consciences were being abused. People were using liberty to harm others that were weaker. And then some were being hurt by those who were not being careful as well. So Paul's explaining, not necessarily just by words, but by his own example, how to use his liberty, and in the area specifically about eating meats that were sacrificed to idols. And he's giving this example of great care for a weaker brother, in this case by refraining from eating meat, not to harm the conscience of a weaker brother. But he goes on, the section that we just read at the beginning, in verse 31 to 33, the reason for his actions in all of this, in seeking even at some points not to eat meat, was for the glory of God. That's his primary factor. Why would he set apart his liberties? Why would he consider them less than harming a brother or sister in Christ? Well, to glorify God, and glorify God in the area of advancement of the gospel. He would do what is necessary to make sure that the gospel is proclaimed and proclaimed rightly. And that didn't mean necessarily in the context making it more attractive to men. We see the words to please everyone. That's not to sugarcoat the gospel, but to make it effective, to have more opportunity for it. And so Paul is laying down that very example for the church. He's saying, follow me. Look at my example. Many of the times others are trampling upon your weaker brothers and sisters. He's saying, follow what I am doing in this case. My example. So Paul's saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Do likewise among yourself, follow my example. And this is the idea that we see Paul giving the church, the Corinthians, this idea of imitation, and for us as well. Now, that's just a broad background of the context. We'll see that flow into the importance of imitation. But tonight I want to answer two very simple questions as we look at this text. Firstly, who do we imitate as Christians? Who do we imitate as Christians? And secondly, what does it look like to imitate? So who do we imitate? What does it actually look like to imitate? Firstly, from this text, who do we imitate? Well, the answer is somewhat obvious in that context. We imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. We imitate his example because we are those regenerate, born again through the gospel. We love this Savior who we used to hate by nature, who used to only expose unrighteousness in us. And his grace through the gospel, God giving us a new heart, has caused us to love that Savior and hate our sin, reject our prior life, and come to him in faith. And that's the plea of the gospel. And so we want to be like Christ. And the Christian life is primarily about our imitation of our Savior, our Master, Jesus Christ. We're looking to him. We're looking to his majesty. We're looking to his grace, his excellency. We are not calling us to be gods in that sense. No, we cannot atone for our own sin. Oh, but to example our Savior in the world, to bring glory to God, is a primacy in the Christian life. And this is all through the scriptures. Christians are called to take up their cross, deny themselves daily. There's a following after Jesus. There's an imitation in our life in that way. And if you look at Christ's call, even to his disciples, what is it? In salvation, it's follow me. Come, leave what you're doing, follow me. Give no second thought to the world. That's his plea to those who are lost. So we see these simple calls of discipleship. It means lifelong calling, lifelong obedience, and it means lifelong imitation. It means an imitation of Christ. We see in Romans 8 this truth expanded out a little bit. It's our salvation is our progressive conformity into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's our imitation. We're striving, we're seeking after that. And we even see it as a gospel assurance in 1 John 2 verses 6, that the very fact that you and I would look like our Savior, not in perfection, but that we would be the aroma of Christ to the world in his actions, the way he responds, that we would be that aroma is an assurance that we are actually saved. And is it not your joy? Is it not your joy here this evening to be more like Christ? Is that your prayer? Make me like him, God. Form me so that I better image him, that I more glorify you in this world. And that was certainly Paul's example that he was laying down to the Corinthians in that sense. Are you, God, seeking to be like him? In the context, in the issues, And some of the world's pressures to the church, is he your example? And so Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we see in this context that what Paul is saying is, imitating Christ is never divorced necessarily from imitating those that follow Christ's example. So you won't see them separated. That if you're going to follow Christ, much of that is part of following others' example that follow Christ. And Paul's giving us that example of imitation. So everyone who examples Christ in the Christian walk, we are seeking to be like. It means imitating people. You want to be like Christ in that sense, then you want to start looking like those who follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, who better give off that aroma of Jesus. And I think Paul, when we look at this text, is sending us a very important message about the importance of the church, the importance of our common fellowship and our growth into the image of Christ, that the church acts as this incubation chamber for our growth into the image of our Savior. Yes, as we see the example of brothers and sisters, but then following after them and even being sanctified within the body through trials and tribulations to look more like him. And so we see God has decreed the ends of looking more like Christ, and in this context, through the means of imitating brothers and sisters who example him in the world. And the truth is, Paul, I believe in it, it may be your own experience as well, that as those who rise up within the church look more like Jesus, as they have a zeal to be like him, others are going to notice. Others notice, others imitate, others follow along an example. And I don't personally believe that this plea is just about Paul, but setting a standard for us as Christians to imitate those who look like Christ in the context of even our church here. And we see that in Philippians 3:17 that gives us a little bit of an addition onto this truth. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And so we see that very truth, that importance of following after brothers and sisters as they display Christ to grow us. So it's a pretty simple plea. We know this. We are Christians who want to look more like Christ. This is part of what God is doing in us so that he's glorified, so that he gets praise. So we know what we need to do. But the question is, okay, well, how do we start doing this? How do we start living this out as Christians? And as Christians here at Fairview, what does it look like for us? Well, I want to go back to, just quickly, even my first question. Who are you imitating? Who are you imitating, even at this moment today? And primarily we're looking at, is it Christ's example, firstly? Is it his example in your life that you seek to be like, that you seek to imitate day by day? Is he your primary focus of attention every day from morning to sundown? And then, do you have godly people that give the aroma of Christ that you seek to imitate, that you seek to follow after as they follow after the Lord Jesus Christ? So do you see men or women who provide an example of what that looks like in life? And do you, if you see those and if you pay attention, do you follow after their example? Is that something that we notice as a church? Whether you're young or old, who are these people? Who are the people that you follow after as they imitate Christ? Now, I think there are different options that we can have, but the next question I would ask is, is this someone that you can actually get to know? I think there is a great truth in studying biography, Christian books, and literature to find out the truths of lives and in the past can provide so much example for us that we can seek to imitate that are helpful. But I think I want to challenge us a little bit that in the context of this text, they knew Paul. Paul was very intimate with them. He was like a father to this church. And I would ask, is there someone even in the context of our local body of believers that you find is a great example and that you seek to obey Christ and imitate them. So just things to think about as we talk about the idea of imitation. Now, talking about the act of imitation in the Christian life, I want to give you six very quick points. They're not very long, about how to imitate other Christians as they follow after Christ in a sense that we see here in Scripture that we can gather from Paul as well. So the very first thing is, as we look at the context of our church and see those that example Christ and provide a wonderful godly example for us in the idea of Christian imitation, be watchful. Firstly, be watchful. When you see those, what stands out about a brother or sister that calls you to the attention that this person imitates Christ so wonderfully? What is it that stands out that you can even imitate? Where their family, how do they respond to the word preached? What about their prayer life? Different aspects of how they interact with the church. What are things that you can emulate in your life and seek to do and be obedient to Christ in? And even for the younger ones among us, who are those people that you just seek to look at and listen to? Is there a place to just sit amongst those who are godly and imitate Christ and listen to them have conversation? I know this is something that Bodhimagham has said before. To just sit and absorb the godly conversation, the talk of theology, the talk of the Christian life as well. And I'm sure you may have had that even coming to Fairview. There are some, and I know this was Eric and I's experience of seeing families so following after Christ and us immediately saying, how can we do that? How can we seek to implement that right away? Whether it be family worship, whether it be the way they respond, the way they have fellowship after church, this type of godly imitation. So firstly, be watchful. Secondly, be devoted. Ask them about it. If you know people that follow after Christ, ask them, ask questions. How has God grown you in the past? What are some of the experiences that you've gone through that have brought you into greater conformity with Christ? How did you respond to suffering and trial in your Christian life? Dive in deep. Don't seek or run away from the embarrassment, temptation. And for those who are also being asked questions, don't be afraid to respond and give and open up more of your life to those who want to grow and who want to imitate as well. We want to be honest. We don't want to be afraid to speak honestly about it. So be open to speaking about that in our life. More questions of what are some of these godly patterns of discipline? How do they pray? How do they look at the Word? These other truths, how do they interact with their family, worship, evangelize? And that means also that we need to be willing to spend more time with our brothers and sisters as well, those who give us this great example of Christ-likeness. So that's the second point. Thirdly, be simple. And what I mean by that is join in what they would normally do on a regular day basis that we might not think is over-exaggerated. For the women, come and join cooking, laundry, the basic tasks, the basic activities of the day. Just watch. See how they interact with the issues that arise during the day. How do they just go about their day? When do they pray? When do they read their Bibles? For men, ask if you can join in on family worship. How do they lead their homes? What are some of the things that they do to provide and be a godly example for their wives and for their children? So be simple. Sit in on their life. Seek to watch and imitate as well. Fourthly, be smart. Be smart. It doesn't mean parroting absolutely everything that we see out of everyone. You don't necessarily want to imitate to the point of vainly copying everything that's said or everything that's ever done. But we're imitating patterns of obedience, patterns of godliness, patterns of holiness, disciplines, responses, all of these things. And we want to see it in that sense as well, as we are conformed to Christ. Fifthly, be challenged in that sense. And this is a great point as we imitate those who imitate Christ. Be open to admonishment. Be open to those who you'd seek to imitate, that you've opened up to, to tell you, where are you lacking? Where can you grow? What are some of the issues? Where do you fall short? Be challenged by those who may be at a different point spiritually that you can be learning from. So don't stray away from strong or harsh words at that sense, words of critique, helpful criticism in our Christian life. Because I would say there's a sense in which, as we look at this text, where there is a holy comparison for Christians. Not in a sense that leads us to vain introspection, worried that I'm not that, but to see that, what is it about this man or woman that is so strong, that leads them to love Christ? And where am I lacking? How can I grow in a similar way to my brother or to my sister? So be challenged. My last point, number six, is be careful. Because it's Christ's example we want to imitate. It doesn't mean vainly, blindly following after our brothers and sisters, even to the extent where they're not obedient to Christ. He is our primary example. Him and what he has done. And so we want to have great discretion, great clarity as we follow after brothers and sisters. And under that same heading of be careful, we want to examine what are some of the reasons, brothers and sisters, even as we see godly examples in the church that maybe we don't imitate. Is it possible that when we see those who are godly, who are following after Christ, that there may be a sense in which we don't imitate because we envy, or we are at times jealous, or we think that maybe we should deserve what they have, but they haven't and we don't. And we don't want to fall into that pattern, the thinking that we deserve it, why did they get the attention, but rather be humble. Seek to ask many of the things that I've just discussed. Come to them with honesty and clarity. How can I grow? What is it that you do? How do you set before your eyes Christ daily? So we want to be careful of that as well. So in conclusion for my time, brothers and sisters, for this short message on Christian imitation, I think there's much that we could go into in this text, but let's take up the call to imitate brothers and sisters in Christ. Not in a prideful sense, but in a humble sense. To see those that imitate him powerfully, that are Christian examples in our church and in the world, that we can follow after. Let's not shy away from tough questions, even hard critiques, but let's follow after our Master, our Savior, and imitate those who follow after Christ. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you that he has done what is absolutely impossible for us to do. And I pray, God, that you would make us, even that are gathered here, more like him, to respond to this world, to respond to one another. God, to be willing, God, even to have ourselves exposed. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up among us those who follow after Christ wholeheartedly, that we would be those who are not afraid, God, to dive into one another's lives. Father, I pray that we would be a church that grows together on these things, that we would be a church that disciples one another, Lord, and loves Christ for what he has done. Help us, admonish us, expose us, by your word this evening, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.